Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I'm your host, Sarah Hunt.
And my name is James Petragallo. Thank you for getting back with us after a long absence. Yay! We're so happy. We're excited.
Here's the thing. We left you.
We're cold,
sorry. Heartbroken and alone in the rain, okay? And we came back. We asked for you back.
And you came back, hopefully.
Because those are the fucking rules.
Yes. In a romantic comedy, right now, we're standing out in the street. It's raining outside. Mm-hmm. We're looking up at your second story window. Mm-hmm. We're watching your shadow go back and forth. You have to take us back. We're soaking wet standing out there. Do you understand?
We have made such a gesture.
We have. If we're standing outside soaking wet in the rain going, please, we know we messed up.
Yeah.
We understand.
Yeah.
You are now
contractually obligated.
You have to invite us in and at least offer us something warm to drink and a towel, and then we have sex.
And a nice warm change of clothes.
Yes, exactly.
And then which is why we get naked.
Exactly.
And then we have sex. So
let's get naked and do this.
Okay, that's weird.
Yeah, so let's not get naked. Everybody keep your clothes on out there. We're going to keep our clothes on
in
the studio.
But let's rip into a movie together.
Oh, I can't wait.
Let's rip into this movie together.
Let's.
All right. Before we do that, though, James, if you want to rate us and review us on iTunes, head over there. Give us 5 stars. It's really good for us on the business end. Tell us that you like it. Who cares? We just want the stars. You know, we just need the 5 stars.
It helps us out so much, guys. If you could do that, it takes 30 seconds. So what? Sign in. Do it.
Yeah.
Please. It helps us.
I never even knew that I was already signed in, so I just logged onto it and I did it and it was fine.
And we had to watch a terrible movie that took way longer than that. So
it did. It
help
took
us
a long
out
time.
With the 5 stars, really.
And also find us on social media. We're at You Got Heigled on Twitter, YOUGOTHEIGLD, and also on Facebook. And then, let's just get into the show. We can go into how people can bother us.
Yeah,
because
let's
they've
do
been
that
bothering
later.
Us. They know.
They know. They know what's up. Let's do this. It's a mess.
So I was trying to think, maybe we should do like a holiday themed movie or whatever, you know, for our triumphant return.
We're in between the holidays and Valentine's Day. So it's like we should have come back on Valentine's
and
Day.
And post-flu season.
That's true.
Which is very important.
So there's like half of you left. The rest of you have died.
Yeah, so half of us left. So what I decided on was What Women Want.
Oh, Jesus.
Yay!
I shudder. Okay. Oh, it's the worst.
What Women Want, the year 2000, starring Mel Gibson and my Aunt Helen Hunt.
God help us.
The IMDb description.
Helen Hunt is not her.
I did it. I said IMDb.
You did. Hey, you said
it
correctly.
Say, yay!
If you're a new listener, Sarah has a real problem with those letters in that order for some reason, but she's going to get it today.
Shut up. You
she
did that the other day. You did IMDb.
It happens. But I've never done it publicly. That's the difference.
Oh.
You're doing fine.
It's going to be like that on our way back.
Okay.
Welcome back, episode.
What do you got?
All right. The IMDb description. After an accident, a chauvinistic executive gains the ability to hear what women are really thinking.
Oh, my goodness. And okay. Like we've said, this
that
right away.
That is what happens in the movie.
I was going to say, right away, I have to be on board with the movie a little bit, because not for what it says, but for that actually happened in the movie. And a lot of times we don't get that.
Yes.
It's just some shit happens that didn't.
Exactly.
Nothing like the description.
Are you ready for the fun fact?
Oh, please hit me with it.
The fun fact. Well, I have 2 fun facts.
Ooh.
One fun fact is that I actually convinced a kid in like middle school that, and presumably all of you, that Helen Hunt was my aunt. She's not.
No.
But
no.
I did tell him that she was my aunt. She's my aunt.
Was this impressive to this kid? Was he excited
was
about that?
Well, I mean, I was a bowl cut laden child.
What year was this? What year are we talking?
I don't know. 2000, probably.
So like around the time. So she was super
famous.
Oh,
no. I remember it was around Twister that I convinced him.
Oh, well, that was like the mid-90s. That was when we're talking Mad About You Twister times. And he was impressed by this as a small child.
Yeah, and I had a bowl cut.
He's
so
like, I love Paul Reiser. Awesome.
Dreams can come true. Okay, and then the second fun fact, which you're really going to love.
Oh, boy.
This film was originally titled Head Games and was pitched to Touchstone Pictures in 1996 as a star vehicle for Tim Allen.
Okay, hold on. I really, really
there
hope.
There's nothing sexual about Tim Allen.
I was going to say, I really, really hope that the plot was completely different because I can't imagine Tim Allen going around just being like a playboy. Imagine Tim Allen going around, hey there, sweetheart. And like,
except for I
she
really,
actually goes home with him. No.
I really want him to have been like playing with the box that he plays in. And then when he sees like the... like the lipstick or like the bra or whatever, and then he goes, burr.
Yeah, yeah, he makes his look. I feel like that's why they
that's
thought Tim Allen
wanted,
was
yeah.
good for it.
That's
they're
what
like,
they wanted.
Imagine him going through trying on lipstick and shit. Imagine how funny that's going to be.
Yeah.
Tim Allen, of all people.
Tim
and they
the
said,
Tool
yes.
Man Taylor.
And they didn't
mm-hmm.
realize, oh, good. But it gets worse. They picked someone much worse.
They picked someone much worse. My grandma actually took me to see this movie in the theater because she had a huge crush on Mel Gibson.
Oh, my God.
And even told me that if there was a fire in the theater, I'd have to pull her off the screen. I was like, Grandma,
that's
it's a movie.
Creepy.
He doesn't actually live here.
That's really creepy.
He doesn't
creepy.
Live here.
Good God.
Yeah.
Keep
Which,
her
when you're like 9, you don't want to hear that. 10, you don't want to hear that at all.
Well, it's a little creepy. Like,
yeah.
What, Grandma's going to be humping on some movie
yeah.
star? I don't want to see
like,
Grandma doing that.
Should we just leave Grandma? Like, looking at my sister, I'm like, should we just leave Grandma in here? Like,
that's not the way you want to learn your life lessons. Picturing your grandma humping away on an Australian movie star. That's creepy as shit. I'm sorry.
An anti-Semitic.
No good.
Oh, alleged. Alleged.
Your grandma's anti-Semitic?
No,
that's
Mel
tough.
Gibson.
Really? Oh, yeah, Mel Gibson's anti-Semitic. That we knew. I didn't know if your
okay,
grandmother's.
Anyway,
I'm
let's
sure
go on.
Mine is. I don't know if yours is.
Honestly, guys, we're distracted because we just watched All Eyes on Me.
I can't focus
on
right
HBO,
now. It's
so
tough.
I'm trying to keep us on track. So, James, here we go. We open up the movie with narration, which we know.
Every time.
We know. If you're just joining us, one of the signs of a shit movie is it starts off with narration. Like, it's like, boom, here we go. We're starting the movie, fade in, and then someone's narrating
always.
About somebody, whatever.
And it's always a person that really isn't a main character in the movie.
Yes.
It's always like some side character.
Sometimes it's the main
sometimes
character.
Sometimes it is, but a lot of times it's either the main character or it's a side character that's describing your main character.
Yeah.
And the side character really has nothing to do with anything.
So we learn that this woman is the person who is narrating is
yes.
an ex-wife of someone.
Yes.
Okay. And she's, you know, recounting whatever. Looks like on her wedding day.
Yes.
Recounting her ex-husband, which is real weird.
Well, she's like getting prepared
yeah.
and made up and there's like a team.
To go marry
yeah.
another man.
Yeah.
And then we also hear from a secretary and a daughter that this person, Nick, is no good.
Yes.
Nick's mom was a showgirl and he likes the ladies and he's a man's man.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They show him as a child in a flashback growing up in Vegas and like watching, a stepdad slap showgirls on the ass and that's how you treat him, pal. And he's like, all right. And that's
so really, I mean, if you think about it, if the movie wasn't so lighthearted, this could be a really dark movie
because
all of
be.
The undertones, like as long as you just like change the music a little bit, it could be like,
no, you could do
Nick
one of those.
Nick was a fucking murderer.
You could do one of those trailers.
His mother was a showgirl.
Yeah. You could 100% either that or it would be like a Leaving Las Vegas type of thing where he's like, you could totally see a darker movie where it could be cut together for a trailer if he's just this womanizing sad man.
Yeah.
Who, yeah.
But what I thought was really weird was that Mary Swanson, because the narrator we find out is Mary Swanson from Dumb and Dumber.
Yes.
She is telling two other women who are just kind of smiling, like, why are you telling me about your ex-husband? Like,
describing.
Presumably they're friends with her, so they either, one, already know about him, or two, they're like friends that she's had since she's met her new husband, and they don't care.
It makes no sense.
Yeah,
I never got that. By the way, this movie, I have to say before we get into the plot too much here, it's not much of a plot. It's really pretty self-explanatory, but I really hoped. I took this movie as a mission, all right? Everybody, the people, everyone, this is a mission for me, this movie. I'm going into this movie and I'm saying, maybe this movie will actually tell me what women want.
Nope.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe this movie is a secret, like a secret box that's going to open up, and I'm going to go, fuck, after all these years, that's what women want. Finally, I know. So that's how I'm going through this movie, like a journey to see if this tells me, okay? Apparently, from the beginning of it, they want shit. That's what women want. They want a flowing Rocky Mountain stream of shit is what they want.
I will let you elaborate that.
With Mel Gibson kayaking down it, because that's what this movie is. A Rocky Mountain shit stream with a kayaking Mel Gibson flying down.
I understand what you're saying now.
If this is what women want, it's shit is what women want is what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
I've decided.
All right, so Mel Gibson is awake now. I think that we're meant to assume that Mel Gibson is Nick, who
Thanks,
was just
fuck.
Being referenced, right?
Yeah.
I think his housekeeper or whatever, she's yelling at him to wake up, and he's being so weird. He's like, oh, can I have like a bagel, like a little cream cheese?
Yeah, he's trying to like be like baby.
What they're trying to do is they're trying to set us up as if setting us up with the narration. They're trying to set us up with more that he is an asshole.
Yeah, that's true.
That's all that they're doing.
I like how, by the way, they make the maid because you want her to. You have to distinguish without too much exposition that this is not like a woman he's having sex with.
Yeah,
this is his maid.
So yeah, they had she's to make the right her, level of dumpiness.
They had to make her a little dumpy and give her a Spanish accent.
Give her an attitude.
Yeah, there's no way Mel Gibson's having sex with some dumpy lady with a Spanish accent.
And
that's
an
it's
attitude.
Like ridiculous. Yeah, I feel
also,
like that's silly. I feel like they should have made her different.
Yeah, and I think that that's wrong because there's nothing wrong with a lady having an attitude.
No, not at all.
Or
a Spanish accent
attitude.
For that matter.
Yeah, or a Spanish accent.
You don't have a Spanish accent though.
Only on days that end in Y.
All right. Well, fine.
All right. Anyway, so Mel Gibson can begin his day now. Now he goes to the coffee shop where we see Marissa Tomei, which don't get me fucking started on that one.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, so she's the barista at the coffee shop, and she's talking about all the acting gigs that she doesn't fucking get. And it's like, yeah, whatever. And
she's a sad acting barista.
Yeah, and then also guess what, Marissa Tomei? Like, no one wants to hear about your failures at the coffee shop. The person that you're working with, like, she's fucking depressed and doesn't want to hear about your problems.
Not for nothing. Hearing in the inside of Marissa Tomei's head, she needs to be like locked up this way. She had some severe emotional problems, and I feel she's a danger to others. Not to mention herself, but
she's
definitely
a
others.
Crazy person.
It's insane. This is, by the way, getting into this is probably the most misogynistic movie I've ever seen.
Oh, God, it's fucking terrible.
It's great because it's under the guise that it's like woman friendly. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
like
but now, it's 100% not.
Oh, it's like, well, Mel Gibson's going to see what it's like to be a woman, but it's a complete. I have seen like fucking gangbangs that are more woman friendly than this goddamn movie.
How many
movie.
Gangbangs have you seen?
I don't know. I can't put a number on that. I'm going to be honest with you. But they're out there. And there's a lot of them that are more sensitive
okay.
to women than this.
Anyway, so Mel Gibson apparently keeps asking Marissa Tomei out, which, by the way, he looks like he is like 60 years old and she looks like she's like 25.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is already like super creepy. She keeps saying no to him, and he's just like, oh, well, word on the street is I'm going to hear some pretty big news at work today. Yeah, well, big whoop, pal. Like,
yeah,
nobody cares. I also said I don't want to go out with you.
Yeah, I'm a failed actress. Look at me. You think I care? What size latte do you want to go out to dinner right now?
Yeah. No, I'd like to go home and sob and eat some Cheetos. Yeah. Like,
she can't afford to go out to dinner. She's got to make sure he's paying. She's got to make sure he's paying.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah,
her
and that's
life
a gamble that you're
his.
Not ready to make. Anyway.
When you're watching this, keep in mind, by the way, Oscar winner when you watch this, when you look at it. Marissa Tomei and her performance. This woman won an Oscar. She has a trophy somewhere in her house.
No, she doesn't.
She absolutely does. Unless it was, well, why wouldn't she have it still?
Oh, yeah, she does. Okay, anyway, now we're at an ad agency.
Yeah.
So we know that Mel Gibson works at an ad agency, and Kitty
again.
Okay,
again,
so
Kitty from Arrested Development.
Judy Greer, Kitty from Arrested Development,
Good
is
Lord.
In every single movie that we've watched, I'm pretty sure. I'd like to do a Kitty count. If somebody out there could do a Kitty count for me, because I don't have fucking time to do a Kitty count.
What is this, number 25
episode? Yeah, we could do a Kitty count.
I guarantee you she's been in 12 of them. Definitely.
Yeah, and so we need to do a Kitty count.
Same character every time, too, for pretty
Except
much.
For not this one. She's very depressed.
But still an office
Moody,
girl.
Yeah. Morose.
Oh, she is. She's very sad. Very sad.
Because Sarah Paulson is the role that you would expect Kitty to be in. Because Sarah Paulson is his assistant.
Yes.
But then who are those other two ladies that are in there?
Delta Burke and the other one?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just these like middle-aged...
But they're like his hype squad.
Yeah. They're like these middle-aged women whose job it seems like
Ooh,
it is to come
Do you think
in...
that they used to be showgirls with his mom?
Maybe. Yeah. And he has to...
He
yeah, the
owes
one is
them
like,
a job?
Yeah. I think Delta Burke is like a weird accent. too. Like,
oh, because she talks like this.
Yeah, I feel like they were like, you know, they had to be friends of his mom's, it feels like. But they like take care of
him.
She's
got like the big hair, and she's like, oh, yeah. Are we going to move up to the 44th floor?
I guess maybe it's his like his secretary and his like his assistants. Maybe he has two assistants. He seems like he's very important, this guy.
He's assisted.
He comes in, everybody kisses
Sarah
his
Paulson
ass.
And I think Sarah Paulson was training another assistant.
That's what I mean. They're just assisting the shit out of this guy. He's
wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And it's tough to hire that many people when you have a strict policy of no Jews. Like Mel Gibson.
Yeah,
so that's difficult.
That's a big,
it's tough.
That's a
it's
big
tough.
One. So now we know that Mel Gibson might be getting promoted to the creative director position. His little Bobbsey twins are super excited for him.
Oh, God,
and then we meet. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to tell you about the greatest thing in the world. Now, this sentence won't make any sense of why it'll make James crazy. We meet Alan Alda.
Oh, Alphonse D'Abruzzo. He's back. Damn it. My nemesis. Actually, I love Alan Alda. It's hard not to love Alan Alda, but I'm angry at him for just completely dismissing his heritage. Completely, Alan Alda. We need you on the team, you son of a bitch bastard.
Okay.
Alan Alda's real name is Alphonse D'Abruzzo, which is fucking worse than my name. Worse than my name. And Alan Alda's out there.
He should be proud of that.
He's been walking around since the 60s going, I'm Alan Alda. No, you're Alphonse goddamn D'Abruzzo, and it would help to have you out there not acting like a complete asshole, not acting like a gangster or a criminal or just a stupid goo. You could have counteracted Jersey Shore single-handedly.
Yep.
Do you understand that?
Yep, Alphonse D'Abruzzo.
Culturally, we need you. And what do? You say, hi, I'm Alan Alda, you dickhead. Thanks a lot. Thanks
Alan
for
Alda.
Nothing, Alan Alda.
So everyone... You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Son of a bitch.
So Alan Alda is Mel Gibson's boss. Should I call him Alphonse?
Please call him Alphonse for the rest
okay.
of the show.
Okay.
Let's not let him get off the hook.
Alphonse is Mel Gibson's boss.
Yes.
And he has called Mel Gibson up to his office to let him know that he has hired Aunt Helen Hunt.
Yeah.
As the new creative director because they need a woman's voice because they're losing a lot of business.
And Mel Gibson thinks he is going to get this job. He thinks that's why he's going to the office.
He wore his best black polo. He had his hype squad get him all geared up.
He has a douchebag sidekick every one of these movies.
Oh, God.
Douchebag sidekick who's like, yeah, dude, go. He's going for his coronation,
and
basically.
He's like, the douchebag sidekick was like, oh, I'll make lunch reservations for your great news. He's like, oh, don't put the cart before the horse. He's like, okay, I'll pick you up at 1.
Yeah, he knows.
Fuck
yeah,
you.
They're cocky. He's going up to Alphonse.
So he's not happy about it, and he goes back to his office, and he's kind of stewing about it. And then for some reason, he goes to his ex-wife's wedding?
Yeah, I don't know I don't even know if he stays for the whole thing or if he's just stopping by.
I don't know because it feels like, no, because he didn't need to pick up his daughter because the daughter was like, I'll come over at like 8.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell happened there. He went over to talk to her about the fact that he's going to watch the daughter while they're on their honeymoon.
Yeah, because she didn't really give him, she's like, oh, I sent you an email, I sent your assistant
itinerary.
An email,
yeah.
Like I sent your, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, I have this, and he has this, and his assistant has this, and everybody has this itinerary for where the kids should be.
Yeah, so Gibson can drop this weird kid off.
But it just kind of seemed like, that meeting didn't need to happen.
No, they could have done that over the phone or in any other way, but it seemed like for some reason that meeting was, he had to go to the wedding, to the reception.
Weirdest.
Yeah, it was just to show that I feel like it was to show that he'll walk into that situation and still be like kind of comfortable and cocky and, I don't know.
Well, because he walks in and he's like, can I kiss the bride? And it's like, yeah, no, gross.
Yeah,
you obviously know that you can't kiss the bride.
He's that kind of guy.
All right, so we meet Mel Gibson's daughter. She is 15. So moody.
Yeah, I don't understand this one. I don't get her, this actress and this whole part and this
Ashley Johnson.
Ashley Johnson is her name. I don't know what else she's been in.
Nope.
She's in a few movies in this time period.
Yeah, she's in a lot of early 2000s, like late 90s movies, and she is just such a late 90s character.
I'm not even saying she's bad, but like she's just, it's like, I don't know if it's her voice or what. There's something about her I can't tolerate for some reason as a teenage daughter.
She's like really nasally and really whiny and just like really like everything's not fair. So that really makes me bothered by it. But I mean, that's not my kid. So anyway, that's somebody else's kid. So I don't want their mom to be listening to it.
Well,
and
she's
like
35 years old now. This was made in
2000. Oh, she's also playing a character. So never mind.
It doesn't matter. Fuck
anyway.
Her. She's older than you, for Christ's sake.
So now we meet Aunt Helen. She's at the office. So she's introducing herself to the entire staff. And she's giving a nice, long, boring speech about what she's going to do as creative director, which is what everyone wants to hear. from their new creative director. And she gives everyone this big pink box, well, like a medium-sized pink box that has a bunch of ladies' products that they're all looking for a new agency of record. She's like, these all of these products here need new representation. So I want you guys all to take tonight, and I want you to come up with something for one thing at minimum. Or everything.
Or everything.
Yeah,
or,
so, you know, whatever you're inspired by.
Yeah,
so if you see
inspires you.
The, you know, the nylons or whatever.
That's why I could never work in advertising. There is no way I could sit for 6 months and there's nothing about moisturizer that would inspire me. That I could use the word inspire
on. Yeah, right? So there are some things like that where, you know, after working in advertising, the clients just want something sexy. And you're like, I'm really not sure how I can make salsa sexy.
Yeah, that's a tough sell. Yeah, that's a
tough
sell.
Or I'm really not sure how I can make your casino in rural Oklahoma sexy.
That's a tough. That's even tougher. Yeah. I don't know how I can make your casino in rural Oklahoma with a, you know, some aged country star performing there. That's a tough sell for sexy, is what we're saying.
Although there was a really good one where Sir Mix-a-Lot was there, but that was fine.
Well,
anyway,
that's another story.
Now we learn that Mel Gibson is a wine and cigarettes kind of guy. So he's a man's man, but he drinks red wine and smokes cigarettes and listens to Frank Sinatra around the house.
Yeah, he's that kind of dude.
Anyway, so, but he's looking at all of this stuff and the thing, and I'm wondering to myself the whole time, like, why does he not like women so much? Because he's, like, looking at the lipstick and he's like, okay, the lipstick, a Tahitian blonde with, you know, tan and in a waterfall and in a thong bikini.
It's so weird.
And I'm like, okay, you can't think of anything else of why a woman would like lipstick.
That's the thing I don't understand at all. It's like he's supposed to be like kind of a smart guy who's good at advertising.
Yeah.
And I get that men's products are his specialty and he knows how to get to that. You know
and
how
he
to,
knows every person with a bikini in town.
Yeah, yeah, you know how to reach that demographic, that young man demographic. But he still knows advertising enough to where you think he would be able to go, okay, let's switch this way of thinking, except if it was a woman. I don't understand.
Especially since Alphonse just told him, like, hey, I'm hiring a lady.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
To take your job, and you're super upset about it because we need a woman's way of thinking. You think he'd be like, all right, fuck, I got to think of something so that I can be.
He's not even really coming up with bad ideas. He comes up with the Tahitian model thing. He's like, that's terrible, obviously. But he's not even like, maybe this, maybe that. He's just like, I don't know what to do. Like,
he just came up with one idea. Yeah, and then that
so
was it.
So flustered.
Like why couldn't he do, like, he has a 15-year-old daughter, so he could give the lipstick to the 15-year-old daughter and be like, how do you think about this?
Or he could,
like,
go down to a bar, he could go to a restaurant and be like, hey, I work in advertising. Would you mind telling
me
what
you could go do? Let everybody try the thing on, and then Pegrit says, we have the basket of
ask
kisses.
Ask Delta Burke. Ask the girl who's moping around. Ask Kitty who's moping around the office.
Or ask Sarah Paulson. Marsha Clark.
Or have a horrible mishap and be able to read women's thoughts and find out that
Which is exactly what happened.
Holy shit, I should have wrote this movie.
All right. So I love that he has this one phrase. I wrote it down just because I love it, because this is when he's like, okay, I have to get my shit together. I got to think like a broad.
I got to think like a broad.
All right. I'm a broad. I was like, you know
what?
I am 100% going to say that to myself every time I'm hyping myself up. I'm going to say, all right. I'm a broad.
I'm a broad.
Yeah.
I love
when I'm
that
thinking
so
about
much.
Stuff. That's my favorite thing. So if you guys all want to just, like, you know, put that out into the world, I'm happy about it. Just make sure that you tell people to listen to P.S. I Hate This Movie and Small Town Murder and Crime and Sports.
Yeah, do anyway. That. Please, please, please. Oh, my God.
So to change up so that he could think like a broad, he listens to Meredith Brooks's I'm a Bitch, which everybody always thinks is Alanis Morissette.
Yeah,
and I do love that the Alanis Morissette CD was on top of the Meredith Brooks.
Yeah, because no one cares about Meredith Brooks. That's why.
But
what the hell else
so
did she ever do?
Yeah. Everybody then.
It's that style of a person, of
the
woman.
So, yeah, so he's putting on all the stuff. So he's got, like, when we see him, he's in, like, a towel, and he's got, like, his hair all whatever, and he's got, like, a nasal strip on where, like, it'll pull all the blackheads out. Why did he have to paint his nails?
I don't know why, because I guess he was trying to see what it feels like to paint your nails.
But he painted his toenails.
He painted his toenails. He's putting the pantyhose on. I don't understand why he's going to try all the products at once. That's the thing I don't care. All right, I'm going to do it all at the same time.
And where is he going to get when he gets to the pregnancy test?
That's what, I thought about that too. Is he just going to piss on the stick and
but
then just
gonna
be
like,
all right.
So method that he's worried, like he has to wait the 3 minutes and he's like, oh no, I hope that I'm not pregnant.
Is he going to check it at the
end? He's abroad now.
Is he going to check it at the end of 3 minutes to make sure? That's what I don't understand.
But I do think that so he's just trying to, like, you know, emulate a woman and be a woman and think like a woman, be abroad. All right.
Gotta
and
be abroad.
The one thing that I did say that he has down for sure is he's got the wine drunk while doing self-care thing down like 100%. There have been so many times where either I have been wine drunk or like my friends have told me that they were wine drunk and like shaving their legs or whatever. Like that is a thing.
This scene is so embarrassing though.
Oh, it's so embarrassing.
And it's just because Mel Gibson, the way he does it, that's what's embarrassing.
Oh, like when he's waxing his legs and he's like, why would a woman do that?
This is more embarrassing than like if you got pulled over and started calling everyone a Jew. That would be, it's more embarrassing than that.
Oh, by the way,
he would know both of those things.
One of the trivia things that I read about that scene was that Mel Gibson apparently was like telling, so he acted like it hurt really bad when he was doing it.
Yeah.
But then apparently he would like tell all the women and like everybody in the studio, like really didn't hurt that bad.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
The hell's wrong
and then
with these
like
chicks?
He would like say that like ladies, like I'm like, why do you have to perpetuate your stereotype?
It's
Mel
so weird.
Gibson.
And by the way, I forgot to mention this before. I'm leery of Helen Hunt's abilities, by the way.
Why?
In her introduction speech, she makes a reference to Sears as being
well,
like
but that was 2000.
Nice foresight, asshole. What happened from 2000 on?
Yeah,
they plummeted. Don't
rude.
Use Sears. We don't want to be more like Sears. Yeah, okay, that's great. Who did they get as a client? JCPenney? And look what happened there. Look what's going on.
So Mel Gibson is still, you know, acting like a lady, whatever. The daughter and the boyfriend walk into the bathroom and, you know, stumble in on him.
Yeah.
And it just seems so, like, weird.
This was,
and then the daughter's being rude about it. It's like, you did not have to come in here.
No, well, she barges into his, that's like his bathroom.
It's his bathroom. She barged into his room. It wasn't like into the apartment.
The
and then
master
he's like,
bath.
Fucking, he wasn't like in the living room doing that. And
no.
She's like, ugh. And she's acting, I'm like, no, you're the rude one. You just walked in on your dad.
It's a little odd to walk in and see dad in a, you know,
I understand
mid-transformation.
The context, but it's also like, hey, that's partially my fault because I didn't need to bring my boyfriend in here.
Not to mention he does a piss poor job of explaining what he's doing in there. It's not like he's like, you know, like I hate these movies. No one can ever explain anything succinctly. No one can just be like, hey, I work in advertising. These are a bunch of products and I'm trying to get inside a woman's head. Fine. No one would have had a question for
that.
Yeah,
do you want to look at these lipsticks or something like that?
He makes it sound like he was just trying it on for fun because he's like, it's research. Like, that's what you would say if you were, it's terrible.
Yeah.
He's not covering well.
And
he's awful.
He ice skates on these like bath beads and falls in the tub in like a hilarious fashion, which I didn't know that Mel Gibson was good at physical comedy.
Dude,
and
that,
spoiler
it
alert,
it looks like a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Yeah,
he goes like back
like
and forth.
Like Bugs Bunny.
It's so stupid.
And he's holding a hairdryer. And so obviously you know that the hairdryer is going to go in the bathtub, and it does. So he falls in the bathtub. The hairdryer falls hilariously in the bathtub.
Of course.
And Mel wakes up the next morning, and now he can hear everything
he hears
that
his housekeeper
thinks.
Yeah. He hears his housekeeper talking shit.
He hears his housekeeper talking shit, and he's like, woo, someone's got grumpy today. And there she's like, no. So
he's answering her talking in her head.
Yeah.
And she's like, what are you talking about? Yeah, it's really.
But then he walks outside and he finds out that his like weird lady is.
The door woman.
The door woman is really creepy with
him. She wants to throw a sassy fuck on him like nobody's business.
She's 100% down for him.
Sassy black lady. And she's like looking at his ass like, I like, you know, she's saying shit like that.
It's,
she wants to throw a sassy fuck on him.
What was very surprising to me was that Mel Gibson can even hear female dogs.
That's what was. And they speak English, female dogs.
It was a French poodle, and it said, "Monsieur, I have to poop."
At that point, that's when there's a point in every movie where I sink back in my chair and I just go, "For the love of fuck, make this end." And this one, that was the point. It was tough before that,
and
but
we're
that's
only
when
like
I was
24
like,
minutes in.
Okay, this is too much for me.
We're only like 24 minutes in, and also, by the way, not for nothing, this movie was 2 hours and 6 minutes long.
Wow.
We didn't want to do Love Actually because it was 2 hours and 14 minutes long.
206 is abusive. These people should be charged criminally for having a 2-hour and 6-minute fucking movie like this, because it was not. This was a wrap 'em up in 91 minutes type of movie.
Yep.
This was not 2 hours and 6 minutes. This wasn't a goddamn sweeping crime drama.
Yeah. So what we've learned is that we can hear female dogs, but also that Kitty is suicidal.
That's true.
Oh, no one would ever notice me if I was gone. Mel Gibson tries to tell his friend, the douchey like sidekick guy, what happened, and he's just not supportive about it at all. Like,
no.
He's just like, no.
He's a very unsupportive
friend.
Which,
I mean,
right there.
Understandably so. That's kind of a weird thing to be told.
Yeah, I agree. That's a tough thing to, in any of these movies, when you have a magical, mystical thing that happened, they all.
And also, it makes it look like he just didn't get the job that he thought that he was going to get, and now all of a sudden he can hear what women think.
He looks like, it sounds like he's going crazy also, yeah, is what it sounds like. But in all of these movies, they all choose to tell someone. Everybody in all of these movies, whenever a magical thing happens to them, they all pick one person to tell, and that person's always the worst person to tell.
Yeah.
They never pick the right, they always tell the biggest douchebag ever that's obviously not going to believe
them. Who's going to sabotage it and not believe them.
I hate that about the, it's every plot of every guy. These movies, I swear to God, just color by number, every single one
Of
them. Today we plugged in a little Mel Gibson and a little Helen Hunt, and then they made that. They color her hair in yellow for some reason.
Mel Gibson, he's in this meeting and he's pitching some of his ideas from the pink box. So he's like, oh, you know, I was thinking when I saw this lipstick about a Tahitian blonde, like just to show like that he tried to take it seriously, you know, and that he didn't come up with anything. So no one likes his ideas at all.
Well, they're terrible ideas.
Well, they were.
They are
terrible
ideas.
Terrible
by the way, the hags have no inner thoughts. When he comes into the office, he hears all these women.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah Paulson hates his guts.
His hype squad, yeah.
Yeah, Sarah
Everybody
Paulson
hates his guts.
Everyone's like, oh, what an asshole. I hope he doesn't grab my ass. Like, they're all, you know.
I hate
like,
that you've seen me naked.
He's like failure Don Draper, basically, walking through the office.
Non-Draper.
He's non-Draper, and people are talking shit about him and all that
stuff. Yeah, everybody hates Mel Gibson
Delta
in
Burke,
office.
Delta Burke and the other one, no inner thoughts at all.
Yeah,
they just stand there staring.
Yeah, the two hype squad ladies have no thoughts, and that is a great thing to bring up.
Or maybe they're really men. Maybe that's what they were saying. They were saying, oh, that's what they were. They were trans.
Shit.
And that we didn't catch that. They were trying to be very trans friendly and progressive in 2000.
Oh,
and we
shit.
Didn't even catch it. Mel Gibson, he was like, oh, that's cool. You guys have dicks. I'm not going to, you know, it's cool still. And yeah, that's what happened right there, I think. Yeah, I won't blow up your spot. It's cool. I think that's what happened.
All right, so Mel Gibson walks in on his daughter and their boyfriend making out, and she's getting felt up on the couch.
That was horrific.
And you know what?
I didn't like that.
I didn't like it either, but also, like, he's being a really good dad in this scenario. She's 15 and he's 18.
And that's like, the dude, that dude's, he plays a scumbag and everything he's in. He's the guy from like 6 feet under.
Yeah, he's always a creep.
He's always a creep. He's got a mustache and she looks like a young 15. I would have thrown that fucking guy off the balcony. So I don't think he was being a good dad. He should have made sure that guy left there less physically able to make out with 15-year-olds.
No,
that would have been a good dad.
I think that he was good because he told him to get the fuck out. Like he was like, get out.
But politely.
Like, you know, but yeah, he did it in a nice way. But I think that
Death threats.
The kid hadn't like left, then I think that Mel Gibson would have taken it to the level that you would have liked him to.
If some kid that looks like he's a 23-year-old convict is on feeling up my daughter, we are having a fucking problem right now. Because he's an adult. If it's another 15-year-old, I will handle it in a more, you know, sensitive manner. I won't maul them. It'll be fine. But if it's an adult person on a 15-year-old girl, I'm treating you like an adult man who just assaulted my 15-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And I'm throwing you off the fucking balcony. And that's a good father move.
That is a good father move.
Eat shit, Mel Gibson.
Eat shit. So he's trying, Mel Gibson decides to try everything else on again from the pink box.
He's trying to recreate the scenario.
Yeah, to see if that he can cure himself. He takes the hairdryer out during a lightning storm.
He
gets electrocuted, and then he wakes up on the couch somehow.
He's
outside on the patio.
I don't get it.
Did he like get electrocuted, but somehow be like, oh, I have to stumble into the couch?
He's like laying on a pillow, too. He's like set up on the couch. Like he's not like, you know, upside down on the couch with his leg hanging over the side. He's like comfortable.
And like the housekeeper didn't come in and say like, oh, I have to fucking, like, you know, drag him in from the fucking patio. He's a weirdo.
No.
Like, what's going on?
And plus, he's just inflicting electrocution and serious head injuries on himself on purpose on a regular basis.
That's not good.
That's not safe. Especially inside, he electrocuted himself, whatever. But outside, he's literally trying to get struck by lightning, which is a really, that's an unpredictable thing. Like, that's a pretty aggressive move, is all I'm saying.
No, I agree. Because I was like, this is actually a dangerous plan. Like,
I would say.
I'll get electrocuted and that's fine.
I'm going to hang off.
I'm going to gamble.
Hang my arm off the side of this balcony that's 15 stories over and try to get electrocuted. Maybe, hopefully I won't fall over onto the street and die. We'll see what happens. But either way, it'd be better than hearing what women's thoughts are. I don't understand why he's so horrified by this either.
Yeah, that's the thing that I wrote down. Because then he goes, the next morning, Mel Gibson goes to his old marriage counselor, Bette Midler, and he totally makes her believe him. Because he, like, she thinks of a number and then, you know,
Yeah, he just reads her thoughts as they're happening and stuff. So
he never has to prove that to anybody else.
No, he doesn't. No one else. He doesn't. He tries to tell his douchebag friend. He doesn't believe him. He tells the therapist. She believes him. Okay, yeah. So now there's a precedent where he can tell people something.
Well, because he can say, I can hear what you're thinking.
He can prove it. Yeah. He can say, think something, and they think it, and he can tell them. So that's a provable thing. It's not like he's saying, I can cure AIDS, and then they're just, he can prove what he's doing. So, yeah. But he never tells anyone else and then tries to prove it. I don't understand.
He never goes beyond that at all. Like, he never goes, like, you didn't even hear that one lady think, yeah, because that the douchebag sidekick guy is like, oh, yeah? Well, yeah, prove it. And he's like, oh, she thinks that you're gay and overpaid. And he's like, oh, no way.
Yeah, so he thought he was bullshitting.
But then he brings it up to her, and she's like, who has he been talking to? It's like, well, we didn't hear her thinking that.
No, that was weird that they didn't put that in.
Because we hear everybody else's voices, but we didn't hear hers.
I think it was supposed to be like, we didn't know if it was a joke or not with the guy, I guess. But it was so stupid. Also, he's an ad guy who's like he has no scruples or anything like that. You would think he would have heard this and immediately went to Alphonse and said, holy shit, am I the greatest weapon in the history of the fucking world? Drag a secretary in here, watch this. Yeah. I can hear what women think.
That would be a way better
movie.
Oh
my God. That would have been the movie, and then him realizing that that's not a good, that that's not morally good, and maybe he should not. That would have been a better movie. Maybe his daughter helps him figure that out more rather than fucking Helen Hunt.
He should just pay attention more to what people,
Jesus Christ.
So anyway, she totally believes him and tells him that he should use this power for good. That he should try to, you know, solve life's problems, and like the question that everyone's been wondering is what women want.
But he doesn't even ever try to find that out.
Also, I don't think I noticed this. Obviously not when I was like 10 or 11 when I first saw it, but Bette Midler was totally smoking a blunt.
Oh, she was absolutely smoking a joint. Yeah, she lit a joint and was smoking it. And that's why he was like sniffing, and he's like, what was that? Yeah, because she's like, you mind if I smoke?
So he kind of sniffs super obvious, right?
Yeah.
Everything that Mel Gibson does in this movie is obvious.
Oh, God.
It's so obvious that he's trying to hear what this person is saying, even though he's thinking it, and it's just kind of out loud. He, like, gets in their face and is like, what?
He might as well have hats with what he's thinking on it, like Judah Friedlander, just like a hat with it written across it, or like, it's so stupid.
I can hear what women are thinking. Please speak louder. Yeah, it was so weird. Like, he's just
facial
like,
expressions
what?
Are overblown.
Are you sure that you didn't think something right now? Were you thinking something? And it's like, what?
It's so weird because Mel Gibson is good at subtle comedy. That's what I don't understand. If you look at like Lethal Weapon for an action movie, whatever, he's really fucking good in that. And there's a lot of like funny parts in that where he's really good and sly and delivers things well. Things like Bird on a Wire, which I'm sure we'll cover one day, where it's Goldie Hawn, which we'll all bow to Goldie, obviously. We won't talk. A bad word will not be spoken of Goldie on this show. But that's
not about Dolly, Goldie, or...
No. Who else?
Meryl.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I'll give you that. That's fine. But anybody else is fair game.
But
this is what I'm saying. I don't know. It's just...
But anyway, so he uses his power for bad right away.
Immediately.
Right? Goes immediately to Marissa Tomei, and he, like, preys on her. And gets her to go out with him. Okay? And then he's also going to do it to sabotage and ruin Helen Hunt's career. So he goes on the date with Marissa Tomei, and he's like having trouble getting it up or whatever. And
because he can hear her like, he can hear her like unhappiness. He's basically making moves and she's like, oh my God, why is he doing that? Oh Jesus, dude, they're attached to me, you know, and stuff like that. So he's like, so he's completely loses his whole, he has no confidence because she hates everything he's doing and he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah. So he goes to the bathroom to give himself a pep talk, which all he needed was Delta Burke and the other lady. Cause that's his hype squad. And she just barges in on him in the bathroom. Like, what if he was going like poop or something? That's not really appropriate. If you walk in on him going poop, then date's over. Like, that's
I
not
would
happening.
Say,
that's just not happening.
For both of you, I would imagine.
Yeah,
I would think
that's just not happening. It's
he
not
wants
happening.
To climb out the bathroom window.
But I mean, like, she had to be so confident that she was going to walk in there and no poop was happening.
Yeah. Well, what did she think he was doing in there that she needed to barge in on?
She just barged in.
I don't understand.
Barged in. So fucking rude.
Like, she was going to catch him doing... It was like Richard Gere in Pretty Woman when he thought she was doing drugs and he popped in the bathroom. But except there's not no stakes like that here. It just makes no sense. He's just in his bathroom.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So, but then he, so now he starts to like use it against Helen Hunt, right? So after the date with Marissa Tomei. So he's like, yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
But and he's like, also like helping women along the way now that he can hear what they want.
And
now
why
he's
does like, no one think that he's full of shit?
That's it. He's like half.
No one.
He's turned into like half mensch, half sexual predator by the middle of it, where like he's like, is he trying to help her? Is he going to try to have sex with her?
Helen Hunt doesn't once say like, yeah, hey, I heard you're a real fucking pig. What are you doing? Like, why are you being so nice to me and like asking me about this? Like, what are you talking about? But anyway,
you're 100% on point on that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought Mel Gibson said that he was going to take his daughter shopping. Prom dresses because Helen Hunt said that it's all about the dress prom.
Yeah. We skipped over their Nike ad pitch, too.
Didn't skip it.
Oh, we didn't
pitch
it.
No, they didn't
pitch.
The pitch is at the end.
They come up with the plan.
Yeah, they come up with the plan
during
that
time. Which totally sucks, I think.
Yeah, that's why I'm skipping it, because we're going to go to the next one. So Mel Gibson takes the daughter shopping for prom dresses.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we did skip a woman looking at him and goes, oh, no, I looked at his penis. We skipped that.
That was Helen Hunt.
Was that Helen Hunt saying that or something?
They were in the room.
Would a woman say penis in her head?
I don't know. Maybe Helen Hunt would.
I don't know if you would say penis in your own head.
I am actually thinking about this, and I am not sure.
I looked at his penis. Seems like a really...
Oh, I looked at it again.
Okay. Keep going.
All right. So Mel Gibson takes his daughter shopping for prom dresses. Like James said, there's that whole little whatever.
It's Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
What
a Girl Wants song, and then all the terrible songs and whatever. And he can hear her thinking that she can't believe, which I don't know what girl or lady thinks this. I can't believe this is the last dress I'm going to be wearing as a virgin. Like, I've never once thought of that.
That's such a weird.
So like, who wrote that line? She has to think that this is like the, you know, I can't believe it. Like,
I don't know who wrote this movie, but I'm assuming a guy.
Yeah.
This seems like the type of movie. I mean, we can write any movie, but this seems like the type of movie where it'd be like, what do women want? Well, I'll write it. I think I know.
Nice dress that they can remember to be the one that they take off. What are you talking about?
Here's what I don't get to. During the montage, it's like they have like this playful relationship where she puts a dress on and he's like makes a face, and then she puts one on that he likes and he's like, that one's good. And she's like, ah, gross, and puts her finger in her throat. And they're like, you know, they have like this playful relationship. There's a Christina Aguilera song declaring that this is what a girl wants and what a girl needs.
But this movie is not what a girl wants.
Makes her happy and sets her free
and
all this shit. So this is all going on. But then in the very next scene, she treats him like he's the biggest piece of shit in the world.
Because she can't have any feelings.
Yeah, I don't understand it. But I'm like, they just got along super fucking great. And there was a montage.
Yeah,
and
but she's an angsty teenager.
But once you have a montage with a pop song, it's over. That's it.
Yeah, I agree. I get what you're saying.
Diffused.
She's just really brooding and emotional.
I've never been a teenage girl,
and I relate to that on a level where like you really hate somebody, but then because you don't really know them, and then they kind of open up to you a little bit, and then you like them, but then you're like, no, I still don't like you, even though we had a nice time the other day. It's poetic angst.
You guys are crazy, is what that is.
No, it's not. We're principled.
Yes.
Anyway, so
Mel, call it that if you want.
Mel Gibson tries to have.
We're worse, by the way. So don't take that. That's not offensive because I'm saying we suck too. You are out of your fucking minds. Sorry.
Well, we're all out of our fucking minds.
That's what I mean.
Anyway, so
it's everybody.
Mel Gibson tries to have the talk with his daughter. And he's just like, yeah, you know, like if you don't feel ready, it's okay. And she's like, ew, dad. Oh my God. Mom already had this conversation with me and like blah, blah, blah. It's like, ew, shut up.
Yeah, it was.
You're such an ungrateful little brat.
Yeah, she was. She was really ungrateful for everything.
Yeah. Stay in this crazy high rise fucking apartment in downtown Chicago
and hang out with
her 18-year-old boyfriend and get felt up on his couch.
No problem. Dad's like, let her have the kid, other girls over, tell him water pizza, hang out, do whatever you want. She's got a great life for a teenage girl as far as that goes. And
much better than Tupac.
I would say much better than Tupac and All Eyes on Me,
except for I will say that Tupac probably has done more than that character.
Oh, definitely.
By the time
she's
25.
Tupac had a
guys, All Eyes on Me, HBO. It's
so bad and great. It's amazing.
Pure entertainment. It's the best biopic in the whole world.
We tried to figure out how to make it a romantic comedy
we watched it to like try to cleanse our palate after we watched this movie. And Before we went to the studio today, I was like, can we just do All Eyes on Me?
Or can we do The People versus O.J. Simpson, all 10 parts? That's a romantic something.
Yeah, it's between
It
justice.
Was a romance until like 1987, and then it wasn't a romance anymore. And it turns into not a comedy or a romance. It turns into
scary times.
It's very bad. But back to Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson and Helen Hunt are now on a date.
Before this, though, he was at home. He was at home watching TV that night and crying at a weight loss commercial, at a woman talking about weight loss on
now,
like
Oprah.
Now
all of a sudden he's super sensitive.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah. That's the other thing. He doesn't just hear what a woman wants now or what women are thinking. Now he's somehow turning into a woman.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was part of the electrocution side effects, but apparently so.
Well, that might have been the second one.
That's true.
Because the first one might have been just hearing, because we didn't actually know the effects of the second one.
No, that's a good point.
Because the second one, I don't know, did it amplify?
Yeah, really. He just did it again and woke up and was like, oh shit, that didn't work.
But something else, he should have been either given something else or they should have addressed that.
I feel like they took that out in the second to last draft and they were like, well, he's just trying and it didn't work. No worries.
Yeah. So Mel Gibson and Helen Hunt are on a date. And by the way, their combined name is Melon.
Their combined name is Melon. That's a fun fact for the road there.
So Helen Hunt is telling Mel Gibson about her awful ex-husband and how he didn't really like her, and especially not her, succeeding, which that's weird that that's still a problem nowadays. I mean, I know that this was in 2000.
Yeah, it's a little less now,
probably. But it's still
probably.
A problem. By the way, James fully supports
I support everything she does. Yeah, it's fantastic. This is, by the way, is this what women want? Because by judging, he seems now he knows what women want.
Does he?
I'm trying to find out what the fuck women want.
He knows what women think.
He's sitting there. Well, this is what I mean. But he's sitting there, he's talking to her, and he seems to do everything she wants him to do, though. And what that is not saying a fucking word, sitting there and letting her tell her entire life story. Is that what women want? Is that what you guys want, to be able to speak uninterrupted about everything you've ever done ever with us just nodding our head and seeming interested? Is that what you want?
Not all the time.
What the fuck do you want? What do you want? Because that seemed to work. That worked.
Yeah.
She was like, he's the best. He didn't say shit.
Yeah, because now they're in Smoochville at the restaurant.
So all this time I've been trying to be funny back in the day when I was trying to be funny. Didn't matter. I just had to sit there and nod. Is that what it is? That's it?
No.
Smile and go, wow, really?
No, I don't think that's what women want.
I
think that's whatever the men who wrote this movie wanted.
I think they were sitting around going, you know what? You know what women like? Hey, listen to me. Check it out, right? Every time I'm out with my girlfriend, she won't shut the fuck up. And I figured it out.
Women just want to talk.
If I sit there and I could think of other things, but if I look like I'm looking at her, she's pretty fucking happy about it. So I think we should just let her talk then she's going to bang him. I think that's
a
good scene.
And I'm in a restaurant.
You write it up and we'll put it in the scene.
All right. I'm abroad.
I'm abroad. All right. I'm abroad.
I just want him to listen to me uninterrupted.
Do you think they did that in the writing sessions? I think they would sit there and be like, all right, everybody, I'm abroad. And then they'd be like, okay, we're
everybody
in this.
Get your broad hat on.
Come on, let's do it. All right.
All right, guys. Seriously, that's going to be my new thing. Anyway, they're Smoochville at the restaurant. Helen Hunt drops him off at the apartment so that they become Helen and Mel, not Melon.
Yes.
And Marissa Tomei is outside of Mel Gibson's apartment like a crazy fucking person.
She's like one of those things you stick on your windows of your car.
She looks possessed.
Those old Garfield things.
She looks possessed.
Yeah, she's literally up against the glass. She's like Rick Moranis in Ghostbusters when he goes up to that restaurant when he's possessed by a dog.
And he's like,
that's what it looks like.
And he's like, how long have you been here? She's like, oh, a couple hours. And I'm like, oh my God,
she's in meltdown
possessed.
Mode too.
So yeah, so she's having a fucking meltdown because he hasn't called in 6 days. And then she's like, oh, so you must be gay.
Yes.
Otherwise you wouldn't be ignoring me.
She's like, tell me you're gay, right? Tell me you're not somebody else rejecting me. Tell me you're gay. And that's what this is all about. She wants him to be gay so bad.
But why? And then Mel Gibson goes for it. Why?
Because it's letting her off the hook emotionally. She's had problems. Marissa Tomei, everybody's rejected her. Everyone keeps rejecting her. Why? Because she's fucking nuts, obviously.
Yeah.
But they keep rejecting her. And she's saying, you're gay, right? Tell me you're gay. Because for her, that's not her fault.
Yeah.
She can't help that he's gay. That's not on her. That's his thing. Where if it's anything else, my type. But you can't be my type because I'm gay. It's not your fault. I think it's that sort of thing. That's the attempt anyway.
All right. So anyway, she tells him that he's going to make some guy very happy. And now, so you know how we were just talking about how Mel Gibson like helps ladies like with all their problems?
He does.
Like,
one thing, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but one thing at the end of the gay exchange, she says, so you are gay? And he says, I'm as gay as it gets right there, that's a movie title right there.
No, because she says, how gay?
She says, how gay? He says, I'm as gay as it gets.
I thought he said that, the gayest.
No, he said, I'm as gay as it gets. I wrote it down. I'm as gay as it gets.
Wow, I must have really blacked out during that part of the movie.
So by the way, a movie title, As Gay as It Gets.
We could do Mel Gibson
movie.
I see the cover right now.
Mel Gibson, As Gay as It Gets.
So he's helping ladies along the way throughout the movie where, like, you know, he's consulting with, you know, one lady about how her husband only watches TV when she's home.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, tell him, like, either I'm interesting or I'm not interesting. And she's like, what if he says I'm not interesting in her head?
Yeah.
And he says, he's not going to say that you're not interesting. And then she's comforted.
Yeah.
And then Sarah Paulson, Marsha Clark, the assistant, says that, you know, she doesn't want to move to Israel because she wants to be in advertising and that's where her boyfriend lives. And he said, and she's like, so I just hung up and I just don't think he's going to call me. And he says, trust me, he's going to call you. Well, the boyfriend from Israel is at the office
there.
Just like he predicted.
Dude,
so we're supposed to believe that everything is going fucking great.
No, it's the full Oprah act. It really is. He's going around the office like from problem to problem, like surfing on waves of women's problems and solving them. He's
and
a fucking genius.
Yeah, progress and success.
He's magical now.
Yeah. And so Kitty wants to commit suicide and Mel Gibson wants to know more about her. He keeps calling her funny.
Yeah, he's like, because
she kind of does like little quips, like they wouldn't even
in her
notice.
Head. Yeah, she's making little wise ass comments in her head as she's walking around, which is kind of amusing.
And
I guess.
So he asks one of his assistants, one of the Bobbsey twins, Delta Burke. He says, like, does anybody know anything about her? And she says that she interviewed before for a copywriter position.
Yeah,
and Mel
applied
Gibson.
For.
Yeah, she applied for, and Mel Gibson kept like.
She told them to, quote, blow her off.
Yeah.
That's what he told
them. So he was like out of town and had a meeting or wasn't coming in today and whatever. So then he starts to feel all crazy because he's heard her saying all these suicidal thoughts, like nobody would even ask about me, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so he starts feeling bad also about sabotaging his relationship with Helen Hunt because obviously he's had grown feelings for
her. Now he feels like, oh no, I mined her brain for ideas.
Yeah, so I love this because he's telling his douchebag sidekick friend that women would never do what he's doing to Darcy.
Dude.
They would never do that.
And
I was like, okay, listen. It's like your, first week of being a woman?
Yeah,
I understand.
Yeah.
You're starting to learn the ropes, but here we go. I don't know how many times I've heard about women doing way worse for things like just to sabotage somebody's fucking like life.
There's so many
not their
crazy
career
things.
Like their life.
I do a small town murder. I've seen horrible murders just based on, and it's men and women, but women. Yeah, he's becoming like more of a woman, but that automatically in this movie makes him a better person. Like he's nicer, he's better, like a person that cares about others over their own interests. All of a sudden, like I've known a lot of women, some of them are shitty.
Yeah.
And this movie posits that none of them are shitty, ever.
And there are some men, some of them are wonderful, and some of them are shitty.
Yes.
I mean, that's just what
people
it is. It's
suck.
Just people. Some
people
fucking suck.
But they make it like in this movie, like women are
angels
and every man is horrific, except for Alphonse Diabrutz, who just seems to be going through the motions.
He's just kind of there.
Yeah.
Asking for shirts.
Yeah, I don't get it. It just, this movie's not, and it's misogynistic as fuck at the same time.
Oh, it's so terrible.
It's just patronizing.
It's awful. Patronizing. That's what it is.
It's terrible.
And so he's just not been fully trained at being a woman yet. And I get it. It's okay.
Been fully trained.
Like, he'll get there.
He'll
it takes
get it.
Longer than a week to, you have to it's brood
tough.
For like 25 years and just be like, what's wrong with me?
Just,
and then you'll finally get that.
You
but
just
he's just not there yet. It's okay.
Figure out all the inner workings. It would take you years.
Yeah.
Just to figure out,
how
to make your boobs comfortable. I would think it would take you at least a couple of years to figure
that
out.
How do I make my boobs comfortable?
Yeah, to not be like, you know, smush them or, you know, I don't know. It would be a pain, I would imagine, to have boobs. Not bump them into things as you move around, you know.
I don't know. Okay. We'll talk about this another time.
It's
going to be another hour.
Very happy not to have boobs. They
Helen
seem like
Hunt
a hindrance.
Helen Hunt takes Mel Gibson back to her apartment that she just bought, and she bought two floors.
This is a $7 million apartment, by the way. This is like what a Russian oligarch buys his son to have hot tub orgies in.
She lives by herself. and she has two floors, but that's fine. Alphonse D'Abruzzo calls Mel Gibson into the office. By the way, as Alphonse calls him into the office, it's raining. So we know this is not going to be a good day for anybody.
Obviously
because the
not.
Weather suggests that it's not.
Yeah.
So Alphonse wants Mel Gibson to stand in as creative director because he fired Helen Hunt because Mel Gibson, you know, mined Helen Hunt's brain for data to get this Nike account and get his job back.
So they don't need her anymore.
Yeah, so basically Alphonse D'Abruzzo was like, well, we hired her to do this shit and you did everything, so I fired her and you're just going to, I'm sorry, I was wrong.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was like, no, I actually just came in here to tell you I wanted a leave of absence because I think I need to really figure some shit out in my mind here. And then he talks.
I'm a chick after all.
So he talks Alphonse D'Abruzzo into giving Helen Hunt her job back. And then, oh shit, I just forgot about this. Kitty didn't show up for work.
Yes. No, Kitty doesn't show up.
Mel Gibson is on the case.
Oh, he's going to go figure it out.
So
he's such a good person now.
Because he's a good person, all right? Because he just got offered his dream job and he's like, no, I want Helen Hunt to have it. And then he's also like, so he's asking Sarah Paulson, oh my God, please get me Helen Hunt's contact information. Give me your address. Give me whatever. I got to go to Kitty's apartment and see if she's okay.
Yeah, I got to check on Kitty.
Yeah,
quick,
so he's got to do two things at the same time. So now he's looking for, he's making sure Kitty doesn't kill herself. And then he's also making sure that Helen Hunt, that he can go tell Helen Hunt how he feels about her.
Got a lot of plates spinning right now.
Yeah, so it's raining and he's, you know, going to the, you know, he's going to all these places and he's trying to find Kitty's house. And then all of a sudden, like, lightning strikes a transformer.
Yeah, it's so
and not
ridiculous.
Like the Transformers, like the dumb movie. My dad's an electrician, so
he's
he
in an alley.
Zapped a transformer.
He's in an alley, and like it zaps, and a wire comes down, and there's electricity, sparks
shooting
everywhere.
But doesn't actually get him.
It kind of does. He's standing in the wet. I don't know what the fuck it is. This guy's a magnet for electrical mishaps. Let's just say that. I've never been electrocuted in my fucking life. This guy, three times in a week.
Yeah.
He's popping off like hardcore electrocutions. This is bullshit.
And then also, so... The electricity happens, but it doesn't exactly zap him. But I think that that was supposed to be like a, you think happened?
Hey,
you know, like electricity. Because when he gets into Kitty's house, he's like looking for stuff. And I think he saw like a note. And we don't know what the note was. I think it was a suicide note.
He was like, oh no.
And he thought it was too late. And so he finds her and then he offers her a copywriting position on the Nike account, which like, what the fuck? She just went from being a messenger.
This is after she just wandered into her apartment, by the way.
Wandered into her apartment, and then he's like, "Yeah, do you want this job?" And according to me, I feel like he didn't even. So she applied for it, and she's just a messenger right now, and she gets the biggest account. Okay.
Yeah, we need you on the Nike account.
I have applied to being a copywriter and wanted to be a copywriter and wanted to be in advertising for 10 fucking years. I created my own experience. I did all my own shit. And I still got like coordinator fucking positions when I first started out in there. So that part drove me nuts.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, okay. So is the only thing that I had to do to be a copywriter was just not show up for work and be suicidal? Because I can do those things. I can do both of those things.
No, you needed to first, you put the cart way before the horse. First, you needed to electrocute your boss at the exact voltage and amperage that causes him to be able to hear your suicidal thoughts.
That's what
it has to be. Obviously.
He has to tune into my frequency.
Get that going, you're in. So I don't know. It might be easier just to go up the ladder and try to do it the other way. But in case, you can put that in your back pocket as an electrocution, an option.
That's in my back pocket.
I've
got
that
this.
One for later.
Okay.
You never know.
But anyway, so then Mary Swanson's, Mel Gibson's ex-wife and the daughter's mom calls Mel Gibson and says that the daughter called her crying three times from the prom. She's super upset.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Mel Gibson's like, oh shit. That was one of the plates he forgot to spin.
Yep.
Was
so he,
daughter.
He solved the Kitty crisis. So now he's got to go and solve the Alex crisis, which is his daughter. Mel Gibson goes to the prom, finds her in the bathroom, just goes in the bathroom.
In the ladies' room.
In the ladies' room. Yeah. Goes in the bathroom. And she tells him that the boyfriend rented a hotel room because she promised that she would have sex with him. But then she told the boyfriend that she was just not ready. And Cameron said that
Cameron's the boyfriend.
Cameron's the boyfriend, I'm sorry.
Who should be dead by
the
now.
The scuzzy boyfriend who should be a splat on the street. Mm-hmm. Says, I never should have asked a stupid sophomore to the prom. And I was like,
What a waste.
Yeah.
What a waste, he said.
Yeah, what a waste.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Well, in his mind, he's like, prom, this should be like ironclad shore fire, I'm getting laid. What a waste. I picked this some chick who won't screw me when I could have picked any fucking chick here who would have banged me. That was his scumbaggy.
That is a toilet flush if I ever fucking heard one.
Like I said, are we sad if he was thrown off a 15-story balcony? Thank you. Mel Gibson.
He deserves it.
Do the right thing. Kill people who feel up your kids. There you go. Kill them. Murder.
Hey, guys, we're only talking to Mel Gibson's fictional character. Please don't say that we told you to kill people who are filling up your kids.
If you walk in and there's an 18-year-old guy feeling up your 15-year-old daughter, you can tell him I said to do it, goddammit. Kill that motherfucker.
Not me.
Yes, him. Stab him right in the face. Do it.
So Mel Gibson is, you know, trying to talk to his daughter and, you know, like you have a moment of like being a dad with her.
Yeah.
And
in
also,
the bathroom.
Oh yeah, by the way, at Kitty's house, he discovered that he can't hear women thinking anymore.
Yeah. He can't hear women thinking. She was crying. By the way, Kitty crying tears of joy because she gets to write bullshit ad copy
that's not bullshit.
31
ad copy.
Grand
that's
a year,
great.
Or whatever they're going to pay her as a junior copywriter.
Oh, in
copywriter.
Chicago, they're going to pay her a lot of money.
I feel like she's
she'll probably starting out a junior copywriter like $50,000 a year.
Yeah, well, what's she going to get for that in Chicago? Huh? Nothing.
On a Nike account? That's
cares?
A fucking great account.
Who cares?
Oh, that's an iconic brand. What are you talking about?
Oh boy, let me write fucking lines about shoes. That sounds like a great living.
Ugh. Okay. Anyway, so she's talking to the dad. And she's telling him, like, oh, because she's upset because that kid's ex-girlfriend shows up and then they were making fun of...
They were making out.
They were making out and then they were, like, everybody was, like, making fun of her.
Yes, yeah.
And so she told her dad that she was too good for him anyway or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was so proud of her.
That was great. I was
really proud of her.
That was helpful because that scene was tough because her crying is maybe the worst noise I've ever heard in my life.
That was not good.
She sounds like castrated Kermit the Frog. It's really fucked up and I didn't like it at all. So
yeah, that was very upsetting.
Yeah, but what she said was good. Very empowering.
Very empowering and good for you. That's what every 15-year-old girl's attitude should
be. They should be like that. That's right.
Mel Gibson goes to Helen Hunt's because now he finally, this is the last plate he has to take care of. We took care of Kitty.
Yes.
We took care of the daughter. Now we got to take care of old Aunt Helen. This bitch on lock.
This is my biggest problem in the whole movie, by the way, as far as movie writing goes.
All right. So my thing is that we heard a lot, mostly of Helen Hunt thinking throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, lots of Helen Hunt. We know Hunt's inner. I feel like I know Helen Hunt throughout this movie. Yeah.
So I will posit a movie.
Okay.
Instead of being John Malkovich.
Yes.
We are going to do Hearing Helen Hunt.
Just Hearing
where
Helen
Hunt.
We
always hear Helen Hunt's thoughts. That's our superpower. No matter where we are, no matter where Helen Hunt is, we always hear her thoughts.
And there's nothing you can really do about what's going on inside Helen Hunt's head. You just know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's just so that you have it.
Wow. That's something right there.
It's a good movie, right?
I would say the movie should be, how do I get out of this situation so I can stop hearing Helen Hunt's boring fucking thoughts?
Nope.
Good Lord.
It's going to be really good. So he goes to Helen Hunt to apologize or whatever. He tells her that he sabotaged her whole career and blah, blah, blah. But he never once says, like, something, the fucking strangest thing happened to me. I could hear your thoughts.
Dude, this is, okay.
He just says, like, yeah, sorry, I took advantage of you. I sabotaged you and I'm sorry.
And he doesn't explain. He goes, I mind your thoughts.
Well, but he doesn't explain how.
You need to explain how you mind. So wait a second. You're telling me that I had the thoughts that you then put in, but I didn't say them out loud, but I'm still supposed to be mad at you for stealing them, even though... They were just thoughts that we both had, apparently, because he never says to her, look, I'm kind of magic, basically.
I had a couple of days where I could
magic.
Hear exactly what you were thinking.
Just,
so when you were, because
just to let you know.
What was that one where I forgot to write it down? But like they're looking at something and like he just repeats exactly what she thinks.
Yeah, right
and she's
back
like,
to her.
Oh, that's so crazy that you said that because I was literally just thinking
it was one of the photos where he's like, I'm thinking black and white or monochromatic.
Yeah,
and he's like, I'm thinking maybe more monochromatic.
And then
yeah.
he said that it felt so...
Keep going. Keep going. Well, I'll figure it out. Keep going. Go ahead.
Okay.
We can't clog up the whole works here. The gunk.
All right. So anyway, so at no point during his apology does he ever say, I could hear what you were thinking. Something awful and magic happened to me. And, yeah. you know, blah, blah, blah.
Nothing
and
I know awful that you, and magic happened
I know that
me.
You looked at my penis in the office. I know you looked at it twice. Like
something
he never,
awful and magic happened
yeah.
to me.
So he doesn't bring that up ever. And then, but he's just like, yeah, sorry. I mind your I mind you for data. And then I, you know, use it to further my career and yeah. whatever. And then he says, it's funny because I come here at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, to rescue you because you just got fired, and as I'm the one that needs rescuing. Fuck you. Fuck you. Don't fucking pander to me, pal. And then she tells him that
you gotta reset okay. it. Yeah.
So then after that, she tells him that, okay, is that true? Do I really have my job back? And he's like, yeah. And she goes, okay, cool, then you're fired.
Yes.
Good for you.
For mining my brain.
Yes.
Which
good for you. No.
That's a tough one to put into the HR department, though. Why is he fired? He mined my brain thoughts. That's why.
That's a tough one. I mean, that is silly, but he did say, I sabotaged your career and I stole your ideas, that's grounds for firing.
But what ideas? She never says, what ideas did you steal? Oh, you know, the ones you thought of but never said aloud.
Because that's what all they were working on. The whole movie was Nike.
But he didn't steal anything. He just said her thoughts. Which she didn't say out loud. So she would be like, she should have said, what the fuck are you talking about? You said, I had the same thought as you, but you said
it
first.
That's what she had been saying the whole time.
But now she says she fires him?
Because he said, at the Nike presentation, he said, I think that you should be the one that presents this.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, it's okay. It's your baby. And then she's like all excited about it.
And then she's mad at him for it later.
But no, because she thought that when Alphonse D'Abruzzo fired her, that was the right move. And then when Mel Gibson said, whatever, with no context or proof that he was, you know, actually stole anything. Now all of a sudden she's upset.
Why? That's what I
know.
Mean. I don't understand why she's firing him. You think he would be like, wait a second. I, first of all, didn't steal shit from you that was actually out. I'm magical, number one. Number two.
You'd be so fired.
I just got you your fucking job back.
Oh my God, I would so fire you.
And number three, Alphonse D'Abruzzo will never let you fire me because he likes me better than you and I had to get you your goddamn job back. So, kick rocks, lady. I think that's how it should have went. But instead, she said, you're fired, and then they messily hump on a non-furnished, strange, expensive apartment.
They didn't hump.
They didn't hump? I thought they got it on after that. It's implied humping.
There's no place for them to hump.
If where there's a will, there's a way. If 35-year-old people make out at 1 a.m. in an empty home, they will hump on the hardwood floors. It's going to happen. I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
They're not going to be like, well, we have nowhere to get it on, so I'll see you tomorrow.
Anyway, no. So she says to him, what kind of knight in shining armor would I be when you said that you needed rescuing and then I just...
Ugh.
Fired you. Yeah, I honestly would have told him to tell his story walking. I gotta talk to you in the morning about this. I just don't care. I probably wouldn't have fired him that night, but I would have figured out a way to fire you.
I want Hunt, Mel Gibson, and Kitty all to have a mass suicide together at this point. Fuck them all. I want them all to die.
Fuck them all. All right, anyways, guys. So they kiss and everything's happy. And then it's literally done.
That's literally it. That's the end of the
fucking
movie.
So they kiss at the
end
of the movie, and then it's fucking done. So everything is all wrapped up. Except for the Tomei, that's fine.
That I leave
she's
that
a
hanging.
Mess. She's a barista, and
we assume she's been put in some sort of institution and is quietly, heavily medicated and sipping on some tea at the moment, looking out a nice window over a forest.
Mm-hmm.
I hope. Let's just hope that's for her.
Mm-hmm.
Gibson still didn't tell Helen Hunt that he's magic, which to me at this point.
But I mean, I feel like it's irrelevant because it's not like he's going to get the powers back.
He can if he wants to. Apparently, he can turn them on and off. Just electricity, electricity. He's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that's this piece of shit
movie. Electricity.
Yeah.
All right. So, the long-awaited.
Oh, here it is, guys. Let's do it. We're going to...
The Heiglmeter!
Heiglmeter!
All right. So, the Heiglmeter is our system of ratings. 0 Heigls to 5 Heigls. 5 Heigls being the most punishing, worst movie you've ever seen in your entire life. James?
Then 0 high goes back down to 0.
Yeah, 0 is not that bad.
It's not that bad. It's shit, but
and sometimes we get silly with it, and we can also do like algebra.
Yeah, there's all sorts of different equations, but we're going to keep it simple for our first episode back. Is this mine first? Or
James,
first?
I will let you have the honors.
Okay, I am going to go. All right, let's see my equation this week. It's very simple. Like I said, there's going to be first-time listeners. I don't want to confuse them. I'm going to go 4 Heigls.
Okay.
Which is pretty fucking bad. That's a bad movie. 5 is as bad as it gets. I'm going to go 4. It was a 3. It was a three, I gotta say, but it's kind of a run of the mill pandering shit heap with stupid physical comedy and jokes, and it's one of these movies that you know, like, there's a team of writers that writes movie, and they just pumped this out. They pitched this along with 30 other things one day. They're like, oh shit, we actually have to write that now. And they sat in a room going, what do fucking broads want? Well, I'm a broad. And yeah. But having to hear the daughter cry in her Kermit weird voice, and really just having to see the whole thing, it just fuck this movie completely, honestly. That all adds an extra thing. Mel Gibson, I can't explain it, but there's an extra star just in the annoyance of the performances in this movie.
Yep.
Everyone in this movie seemed like they really just wanted to get it over with.
Yeah.
And go on to something better that they're, you know, have more of a passion for. Four Heigels, everybody can go straight to hell. Go fuck yourselves. Eat shit. Hope this movie, rotten hell director.
By the way, we spent $4 to rent this movie.
We did. This movie cost us money.
It almost cost us $8.
Yeah, we stopped halfway through, went back to it, and it almost expired. So that was close.
All right. So I was going to give this movie 36 Heigels because I thought it deserved a Heigel for every minute that I felt like it was too long.
That's fair. That's fair. That's right. That's very fair. Okay.
Right?
I like that. Yeah, I like
it's
the
2 hours and six. It should have been at least, like, you know,
90 minutes.
90
is fine.
Minutes.
Yeah.
So I was okay with that.
I like your math.
But since I don't want to confuse the new listeners, it's 5 Heigels.
Oh, you're going the full 5.
It was 5 because
she's going balls deep,
there
everybody.
There has never been a movie where I have had to pause and go watch it another day.
Yeah,
how
we
many
couldn't
times,
get through this.
How many times have I been like, let's just finish it. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, whatever. How many times have I been like, I can't fucking do this?
This one we had to stop. Like an hour 20 in, we were like, we need a break.
Yeah.
This is too much.
Yeah,
it was punishing.
Well, because that first half, first hour and 15 minutes is so fucking long and it's so fucking like, it just drags on and you're just like, oh my God.
Kill me now.
So I just can't handle it. And then we had to watch like the last 50 minutes of the movie and I just wanted to, that felt like, it was punishment.
I was so happy when this was
5
over.
It's 5 Heigels, and that's why we had to watch All Eyes on Me. So
to cleanse the palate, and that's a pile of shit, but a fun pile of shit.
That was a fun pile
that's
of shit.
That's fun shit. This is not even fun. This is awful. It's not even good to watch if you want to have a good time and laugh at it. It's just no fun. It's punishing.
No.
No good. We don't recommend it at all for
no,
you.
No, we don't recommend it at all. If you've already seen it, I understand, and now you guys, you know...
It was on TBS like every day for
about
5 years. So I'm sure you were all aware of it.
Every weekend, What Women Want was on. Ugh. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm watching this again.
Man, what can they do if they hate this movie but like what we do? How can they tell us that?
Well, James, they could go to Twitter and go to @YouGotHeigled, YouGotHeigled. Or they can head over to Facebook at Facebook.com/YouGotHeigled, same spelling. If you want to contact me, my Twitter is @SarahHIsFunny, SarahHIsFunny. James?
And I am @JimmyPIsFunny, or you can copy and paste my last name from the show description because it's long and complicated and you won't get it right. Also, what can they do if they want to help us out on the business end? Because they can do that too. It's possible.
They can rate and review us on iTunes.
Oh,
give us 5
so
stars. The review part doesn't really matter. It's
say
just
whatever
the stars.
You want.
Say whatever you want. You guys can tell. I loved all you guys' reviews.
Thank you, guys.
We
need them. So please send them in. We're trying to make this established and go up the charts. So a big bevy of iTunes reviews would be awesome.
Yeah. And guys, thank you so much for staying with us and missing us while we were gone. And we just had so much going on with, you know, all the other podcasts, and we didn't have time to give this podcast what it needed, and now we have a little bit more time, so that's good.
That's good. It's going to sound better. It's going to be a better podcast overall. We're going to put the time that we need into it. Just wasn't possible earlier.
Now thank you guys so much. We're going to be releasing these
on Fridays,
On Fridays, yep. So thank you guys for hanging with us, and thanks for missing us, and thanks for being excited for us to come back. And
mountains of shit to come, guys. Piles
mountains
and mountains.
And
we'll
mountains
shovel it and shovel it until the end of time.
To come.
Unlimited resources of shit here. So
I found out the other person we can't talk shit about.
Who?
Laura Dern.
Laura Dern.
Yeah, I love her.
Okay, well, that's fine. We'll keep Laura Dern out of the mix then.
Yay!
That's fine.
All right, guys.
Parochial.
Parochial!
That's the word. Parochial.
All right, guys. On that note, we'll see you next week.
Bye. Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Ha ha ha.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.